We'll now turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. Let us hear the word of God. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Dear congregation, by nature, all people, you and I, all of us, reject God's law and gospel, reject Christ as our only hope and only Savior. Yet, by the grace of God, thanks be to God, there are many who do not reject Him but receive Him, repent of their sins, and believe the gospel. As we've heard also from Isaiah 53 last Sunday, looking to the suffering Savior, the one who died but also rose from the dead and is now at the right hand of God, even now interceding for us. And even after receiving Him and all His benefits, all that He has done for us, or many times, as we've seen last week, too convicted of our rebellious and wayward and backward ways, our hearts, our walk, our talk. The amazing thing then is when we confess our sins afresh and turn again and again to Christ, how patient and how long-suffering He is. His precious blood cleansing us from all sin again and again. for grace, not only to be forgiven, but also for grace to forsake sin. For a willing heart to begin in earnest the battle against sin and all forms and ways of evil. To forsake sin and to love righteousness. To love the Lord Jesus Christ and to live for Him. And to be more and more like Him. If you recognize yourself as such a sinner, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, then today He not only speaks to you, but in addition to that, comes to you to eat and to drink with you and have fellowship with you by word and sacrament. And with God's help, we wish to consider that from the same chapter, Isaiah 53, the last few verses, and we'll just read verse 12 together. Therefore, we read, will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. We hope to consider this theme, our suffering Savior relished. In the first place, sharing His and God's pleasure. In the second place, sharing God's satisfaction. And in the third place, sharing God's victory. Our suffering Savior relished. The word relished is more than just enjoying and delighting. It also has an element in it of treasuring. So it's not only pleasure, but also treasure. There's something infinitely valuable, and that's why it's infinitely enjoyable and glorious. So when we consider that our suffering Savior relished, keep that in mind as we consider that the believer is to share in God's pleasure, His satisfaction, His victory. So first then, sharing God's pleasure. See, that's the first thing. If we are a poor and needy sinner, trusting in Christ, that we may relish that God not only saves sinners, repentant and believing sinners, but delights to do it. It's His pleasure to do it. We say that sometimes to each other. If somebody asks us something to do, it's my pleasure. You mean to say, I not only do it, but I'll gladly do it. And not only that it's God's present pleasure, but it was His eternal good pleasure to do it. He was moved by it. And since He's the I am that I am, the unchanging God, that pleasure is forever. But not without Christ. Not apart from Christ. Not apart from the suffering, dying, risen Savior, Jesus Christ. It's all because, we read in verse 12, He poured out His soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, bear the sins of many. The focus is always on the Lord Jesus Christ, on the Word, the living Word, the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. The focus is on Him and on His love and on His Father's love. As it flows from God's eternal decree, eternal plan to do this, as we read it, verse 10, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in Jesus' hands. So what Jesus came to do, what He's still doing, is prospering the pleasure of God. Performing it, working it out in time. Indeed, it's then for our salvation, yes. Undeserving and needy as we are. But it is also for God's own glory and pleasure. Sometimes we are, aren't we, so selfish, so consumed about our own salvation, and rightly so, yet we should be looking above that. It's not as if God grudgingly saves sinners. It's not only for our pleasure, but for His pleasure and His glory. The Lord says, when Jesus was baptized and later on the Mount of Transfiguration, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." In other words, if you do that, if you hear Him and look to my Son, you will be well pleased in Him as I am. If you fulfill my good pleasure, you will be pleased also. You see, it's not only that we will be pleased when we look to Jesus, but God will be, as we are pleased with Him, He is pleased with us. Unworthy in self, indeed. Rebellious, wayward, sinners as we are, but finding all our worthiness, all our delight, all our hope, all our expectation in Him alone. You see, if that's your life, if that's your desire, if that's your longing, your daily practice, then you belong at the Lord's Supper. We know that it's God's good pleasure to save miserable sinners such as you and I are. We read in verse 10, "It pleased the Lord to bruise him." Yet, it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. In spite of the fact that he had done nothing amiss. Because we read in verse 9, he had done no violence. Neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet, God the Father bruised him. He crushed him. It pleased the Lord. If there are any words in Scripture amazing, it's these words. That the Father was pleased to bruise, crush His Son, and putting His Son to grief, to weakness, to suffering, to make Him an offering for sin, as we read. So not only amazing that He did it, but that He was pleased to do it. Not, of course, that He was pleased to see His Son suffer, but He was pleased that sinners may be saved through it. That we may be rescued from well-deserved wrath to come. In other words, He did what He had to do to save us and laid all our iniquity, all our sins on Him, on His own beloved Son, as He was in the flesh. The iniquity of us all. We read in verse 6. So all the suffering, death and hell that we as sinners deserve, He took upon Himself. He carried it. He was truly the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, acquainted with this grief, this weakness, this suffering, this sorrow, this pain. And yet, He delighted to do it. Not only His Father to send Him, but He to be sent. In Psalm 40 we read, "Lo, I come. It is written in the volume of the books, I delight to do Thy will, O my God." It was His delight as well. It's the delight and good pleasure of a triune God to save sinners from their sins. And to that end, He was stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Not for His own sins, for He had none, but for ours. That's the good pleasure of God. He for us. God manifest in the flesh. Godliness manifest in the flesh. A perfect sacrifice. A perfect plan. Eternal good pleasure. But also a perfect sacrifice. And it brings us to our second point, that not only we share then in the pleasure of God, but also in the satisfaction of God. A perfect payment, because we read in verse 10 that when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. a final offering, a final sacrifice. We share that too, if indeed our hope is in Him alone, not in anything of ourselves, but in everything that He has done. When Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me," that's what He means. In remembrance of what I've done, who I am, and what I still am doing. But particularly in remembrance of my perfect sacrifice, where I made perfect satisfaction to the justice of God, that God can forgive sins and yet remain just. We have to share that too. You see, when Jesus died, He offered His soul for sin. He not only offered His body, but it reads three times in the passage that we read, His soul. He offered His soul for sin. We know that His physical suffering was immense, indescribable. Yet, the spiritual suffering, His soul's agony, was far worse. Far worse than we can even begin to describe. When He was on the cross, when He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew it, and yet it came out of the depth of His suffering and sense of separation of the favor of God. He knew why. So that His people, His children, would never be forsaken. Perfect and accepted Lamb of God. We read about that in verse 7. That He was oppressed, afflicted, He opened not His mouth, He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shearers. He didn't speak back. He quietly went and took the punishment He did not deserve. Truly the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. No more blood of animals, but Jesus' blood perfectly satisfied the justice of God. And in verse 11 again, we read that it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin. An offering for sin. Perfect, acceptable. And in verse 11, He shall see of the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. The Lord Jesus looks even at His own labors, that which He has done upon this earth, His perfect lifelong obedience, and in the end, His death. Satisfied. Perfect sacrifice. The Lord Jesus knew it, that it was enough. That as man He suffered the wrath of God, and as God He is satisfied. Perfectly satisfied. He knew it. Therefore He cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished." It's accomplished. It's perfectly done. It's complete. No more sacrifice is needed. No more sacrifice can be added to this perfect sacrifice. Not only He, but also His Heavenly Father is satisfied. His Father being one with Him. Didn't He say, "I and my Father are one"? His Father agreed that the satisfaction was complete and perfect. When Jesus died, the veil rent and the way into the Holy of Holies is open. A triune God is satisfied. Satisfied with this perfect payment. And all the people that put their trust by the grace of God and the Spirit of God in this Savior may share in this satisfaction. God looks upon you, dear believer, and He is perfectly satisfied, for He sees no more your sins, but He sees Jesus. More is not needed. a dear congregation, less will not do. If you still are outside of Christ and still live, somehow make ends meet yourself, try to find whatever you need to find in the world or even in religion, then the Lord will not be satisfied with you. But when God looks to His Son, He calls us to look also and to say, now look to Him. There it is. It is enough. And when God is satisfied and says it's enough, so should we. Is this sacrifice enough for you? Yes. You and I, we are rebellious sheep. We are wayward sheep. But Jesus says, now look to me. Consider me. Who I am and what I've done and whom I represent and who is satisfied with me. Will you not be satisfied with me also? Do this in remembrance of me, he says. My Father and I are satisfied. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And then it goes on, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. By his knowledge, or as it can be translated, by the knowledge of him, or by means of knowing him, this Savior, many shall be justified. This righteous servant, which is none but the Lord Jesus Christ, justify many. What a word of assurance and reassurance that not only we are in the Lord Jesus Christ taught about righteousness, but declared righteous, justified by His knowledge, knowing Him, looking to Him, trusting in Him, leaning upon Him as He is revealed in the Scriptures. If we go to Him as the sinner we are, leaning upon what He has accomplished, and upon that alone, we are justified. Though our sins still are felt and known, God says, I declare you righteous, though in yourself you remain unrighteous. And though in yourself you continually suffer defeat because of sin indwelling in your thoughts, in your words and actions, yet in Christ you are victorious. And it brings us to our third point, that we not only share the pleasure and the satisfaction of God, but also the victory. His victory. It's a perfect plan, eternal plan. It's a perfect sacrifice. And in Jesus we have a perfect exchange. That's why He must be lifted up. That's why we must look to Him. All that is ours has in His death become His. And all that is His, ours. All our sin and death and hell He took so that we may have His heaven. We can only be partakers of His crown if we are also partakers of His cross. That's why He wants us to remember Him. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Come, He says, share my pleasure, my good pleasure, my eternal good pleasure with my Father. Share my timely satisfaction, my perfect satisfaction. Share my ongoing victory that I not only have accomplished for you, but will accomplish even in you and through you. My ongoing victory. You may share in that. Not only hear it confirmed in the proclamation of my word, the Lord says, but also come and taste it in the Lord's Supper. Taste that I was dead, but now am alive forevermore. To live, not only to die, When we speak of coming to the Lord Jesus as to a suffering Savior, we do not come to Him being dead, but as coming to one who was dead, but now lives. He shall live, we read in these verses, in verse 10 already it begins, He shall see His seed, He shall prolong His days. That's how He will prosper the pleasure of the Lord. Not as a Savior who died and ended His existence, but as one who arose after having paid the price. He's alive not only to earn it for us and to fulfill that eternal desire to do it, but also to apply it. He will see to that. He will justify us, not only by His death, but even by His life. As we read in verse 11, He will justify many. He says He will justify all those that come to Him. Every one of them. Every one that is drawn by the Father, convicted by sin one way or another, coming to Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, He says. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. It's my pleasure, He says, to make all that is mine yours. To share, as it were, my spoil with you. My accomplishments, all that I have gained, all that I have earned is yours, He says. Therefore, 12, will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. You may share my victory. Yes, even in such a way, I will share my victory with you, that when God, my Father, looks at you, He will consider it as if you had earned it yourself. It's like very common in those days when a king or a general returned from war victorious, and the people would line the streets. They would share the spoil, even though they weren't involved in the battle. Yet when they saw the king come, they would shout together, "We won!" Though they hadn't fought. The king did it for them. But they fully shared the victory and the freedom and all the benefits and the feasts that followed. They would be able to say without being presumptuous, "We are victorious." That's the blessing that we share if we are true believers with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans 8:37, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." We are indeed, but it is through Him, never apart from Christ, never apart from His love, through Him that loved us. Because we read in that verse, He poured out His soul unto death. And He was numbered with the transgressors. And bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And notice that He was with transgressors in His death in order to be able to, in His life, make intercession for transgressors. That's why He had to rise from the dead. That's why He had to ascend into the heavens and sit at His Father's right hand. That's why Paul writes in Romans 5 verse 10, "When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Oh dear believer, then, even though you see so much sin in your own heart and life, in what you've done, consider your safety. If you put your trust in Christ, He has done everything. He does everything. He shall continue to do everything. Therefore, we put our trust not in anything we have done, for we have nothing but sin to present, but in everything He has done. And so we're called to relish, to deeply enjoy, to treasure this Savior for who He is. Perfect God and perfect man for what He has done and for what He still is doing. As we trust His Word, as we obey His loving commandment, do this in remembrance of me. Yes, we come. How? As wayward, rebellious sinners, yet forgiven sinners, confessing our sins, confessing our rebellion, our waywardness, to enjoy now by faith what one day we may enjoy by sight, the pleasure of the presence of God. Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen.